Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. And as always on this program, we try to give you a little history. We try to educate you to the reality. We try to make it possible for you to function in this world. And so tonight we are saying the election results 2022 from bad to worse, from Pelosi to Jeffries, and our political prisoners still remain in the death camp. Ralph Pointer, what's happening?
Good evening, my brothers and sisters, on this wonderful Tuesday before Genocide Day, coming up Thursday, and let's always call it what it is, as Queen Mother Moore taught us. Say what it is, and then you don't have to say any more about it. Just what it is. Genocide Day. And now, the election results 2022, from bad to worse. From Nancy Pelosi to Hakeem Jeffries. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us that those who say the Democratic Party is where progressive movements go to die. And we hope to awaken those progressive movements as to what is happening. And so what is the Democrats' answer to the problems that we're having? Well, the old answer, put a black face in a high place. We replace Nancy Pelosi with Hakeem Jeffries, and I want to see the, no, I have little hope for the Democratic Party, but I want to see the place where we start talking about progressive people with progressive ideas, and that's not what the Democratic Party is. I would like to see that Democratic Party support with their money those progressive people with progressive ideas in the primaries, be they man, woman, or child. Progressive people is the answer. Instead of dividing issues that divide us, and they say, well, we have to have a woman in this spot. Well, we have to have a black woman in this spot. Well, we have to have a white woman in this. Wait a minute. Where does the term progressive come into the issue? When the issue of having a woman, we had Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady of England, who was more colonialist, imperialist in her actions and attitudes than Winston Churchill. Winnie, as people like to call him, the reactionary, imperialist, colonialist, anger than anyone who wasn't as colonialist as he was. And we had, let's go to America, we have Madeleine Albright. What did she say when young people, innocents, were killed? Something about damages, collateral damage. Then, if that doesn't get to you, we have Hillary Clinton. We got to have a woman. And Hillary Clinton, with her attitude towards young black folk. Predators, she called them. People without education. And what is continuing now? We see, I saw the longest food line I have ever seen this past Saturday morning. I see more homeless people than I have ever seen in New York. I hear on the media the high crime exploitations, the exploitation of supposed high crime reminds me of the drug wars. Now, you know what they were. It was just a war on us. They used our circumstances that they put us in to attack us. And finally, and I'm going to have to get off, I think of Ron DeSantis down there in Florida. We're not going to allow them to teach that America was developed on stolen land because it's not true. That's what Ron DeSantis says. That's what he says. What kind of fool is he? Who was his history teacher if he ever had history? No, I'm not going to blame the history teacher. I'm not going to blame Ron DeSantis. Who are the people who gave him such a majority as governor? What has this nation become? What has Florida become? Well, I'm here. We pose the question. I'm waiting for my brothers and sisters to give me some answers. Because brothers and sisters of the progressive desires, we are in trouble. Look at what happened with the so-called Latinx vote. Whose side are you on becomes very pertinent, germane to our struggle today. We must state progressive goals, man, woman, or child, regardless of gender. And yes, everybody has to recognize the right of people to live their lives. Mind your own business, I call it. They talk about marriage. And I'm saying, well, people who've been getting married haven't been doing too well if you look at the rate of divorce, the rate of unhappiness. Hey, people who want to be together have a right to be together. Mind your own business. Take care of your own marriage. Gay, transgender, whatever, take care of your own business and make sure that everybody enjoys the rights that you want for yourself. But I could go on, and I will not. I will say what I have said in as many places as I'm allowed to say it, but I'm going to listen for your answers, your interpretation of the election results. Thank you, my sister Betty.
Well, as always, Brother Ralph pulls no punches and tells it like it is. We're going to continue this evening. One of our poets in resident is visiting a new grandbaby this weekend, but wishes us all well as we observe the National Day of Mourning by the people who first came to this continent upcoming Thursday. Moving right along, we've had some bittersweet information come out from our political prisoners corner, but I think we had a very successful demo against the death camps and the incarceration of our sisters and brothers. Sister Ann, that protest on the 21st, wondering if you could give us a little bit of an update before you go to the political prisoner
issue. Which protest on the 21st? Because there were several. There was people protesting to Governor Hochul about clemency, right, for many of our prisoners who have been held for unconscionable lengths of time, incarcerated people, you know, being given these draconian sentences. And that was happening on the 21st. I heard it was quite successful. It was simultaneous in various places. A lot of people attended. And we're going to keep the pressure on, you know, because all of these people who could grant clemency most of the time never do, or it's very minimal. And, you know, we've had people die inside while waiting for these clemency things that never happen, if that's the one you're talking about, because I know there was another one, too, I believe, about the people being killed at Rikers. So
exactly. There were several. We announced them all last Tuesday. I'm glad to know they were successful.
Yes, they were. And, you know, we got to keep the pressure on because otherwise, you know, they'll just continue doing what they do. You know, they're still resisting having any kind of public report come out about what's happening at Rikers. There was a whole court case and it's being sealed, you know. So the public does not have a right to know what's going on, apparently. So, you know, that's very, very concerning. All right. The bittersweet news that we have.
And I don't want to cut across, but one of the things I noticed is the main news misleaders, shall we say, what's the word for it? Fake news establishment had to carry the protest, information about the protest. So to me, that's a victory.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, I mean, you know, whenever they have to feel that they have to cover something, you know, that means that we're breaking through. And I would give a lot of credit on that to the RAP campaign, Release Aging People in Prison, which has been doing tremendous, tremendous work and making very good inroads with various good journalists who will then actually report on what is happening. And they often send out links to people, or you can go to their website, and you can see that they have a lot of good articles and they've made contact with a lot of very good journalists throughout the state. So that's also a big help, and I give kudos to them for all their hard work. You know, we've worked together with them on a lot of things. And as I always say, if it hadn't been for the RAP campaign, some of our prisoners who got out on parole would not be out on parole because they managed to change the composition of the parole board, which has made a huge difference, not only for our brothers who were inside, but also for many other people. So, you know, congratulations to the RAP campaign for all their hard work. I just wanted to say that because it's true. Now,
so much.
Yeah. No, it's good that they're doing tremendous work. And consistent and insistent and persistent. As I always say, that's what we have to be. Consistent, insistent, and persistent. Otherwise, we will never get anywhere. So the bittersweet news is that our dear brother and comrade, Dr. Mitul Shakur, worldwide known healer, was finally granted parole on November 10th. So I think people know that that has been happening. And soon to be released, hopefully, and the family and friends of Mitul Shakur, who have done tremendous work on Mitul since forever, are in the process of raising funds. So I have all this information on jerichoNY.org, but of course you can also go to MitulShakur.com. All donations are welcome. No donation is too small. And as we can always say, no donation is too large, right? So you can donate directly to Mitul's family and friends. That goes to them most quickly. If you're making a larger donation and you need it to be tax deductible, you can go to cadnational.org and, you know, have to go through a couple of steps there, but it works. You click on the donate button on the right side, and then you, when you get to the PayPal donation page, there's a drop-down menu, and you scroll down to pick out FFMS, which is Friends and Family of Mitul Shakur. So I also can say I'm very happy to announce that there are going to be two, count them two, at least two, benefit concerts for Mitul. One is going to be in L.A. on December 10th, which is International Human Rights Day. Great day to have a benefit concert. And also another one in Atlanta on December 10th as well. And I know that Oakland Jericho is planning to do a fundraising Zoom event on the 29th. So I will be putting that information up on the website. I do have the two things for December 10th from the Tulu. And the Atlanta one looks really outrageous. They got M1 of Des Prez, Wise Intelligent of PRT. They should both be excellent, and both of them are to raise funds from the Tulu. So I think that will be a big help to family and friends. And also the one that Oakland Jericho is working on, like having a little Zoom webinar with Jihad and Daqui and Bob Lederer. So that should be very interesting as well. And we did have a preliminary flyer for that, so I'll put that up meanwhile, because I know Aisha is working on a newer one to include the participants. So all these things are happening, so this is very good. And then, of course, I was just reading an article. I posted it today on the JerichoMovement.com. An excellent article by Lynn Washington talking about, you know, the whole judicial corruption around our dear brother Mumia Abu-Jamal. As people probably know, the next court hearing is December 16th down at the Injustice Center, as we call it, because that is what it is, at 13th and Filbert at 8:30 in the morning. I'm sure that the Mumia folk will be once again organizing buses to go down. That's very important that people be there. And if people have the time and can go to JerichoMovement.com, I just posted right on the front page, all you got to do is hit the news tab, a very excellent article by Lynn Washington. Well, if people don't know Lynn Washington, he's a journalist out of Philly who has been covering this since forever. You know, Lynn Washington has been covering Mumia's case for a long, long time. And the article is really excellent because it points out, you know, the whole corruption of all these judiciary, you know, which we know is happening throughout the country, but has been happening for a long time in Pennsylvania. So those are very important things. And the other important thing is our brother, Kevin Rashid Johnson. You can go to RashidMod.com. He has been trying to get very needed medical care because he has prostate cancer, which he's known for a while, and he has not received any medical treatment for that. In fact, some COs, very deliberately, the last time he was supposed to have, I believe, a PET scan at the hospital, they took him to an outside hospital. They took him there, deliberately got there late, right, which he did not know. So they came back outside after going inside briefly and told him, your medical appointment has been postponed, right? And he wrote a whole article about this, a lot of detail if you go to RashidMod.com and read the article for yourselves. And then the medical person in prison also continued to tell him this lie. But he was able to find out that that was not so. And then when he asked one of the COs, well, why did you lie to me? Of course, the guy did not answer him, right? So, you know, he's trying to get a lawyer. This is where we get to now, that our comrades inside the death camps need to get attorneys in order to get their needed medical care, which, of course, as we all know, is a violation of their Eighth Amendment constitutional rights and constitutes cruel and usual punishment. So that's the state that we're in right now, and it's really horrible and really disgusting, but we have to do like Ralph was saying, you know, we just got to fight back. We're not going to stop doing what we do and let these people just run rampant all over everybody, you know, not even to mention the whole thing that just happened in Colorado Springs, which is being brought about by all these, you know, fascistic elements who are specifically targeting the LGBTQI community by calling them groomers, which is another way of saying they're pedophiles, and just, you know, releasing all this hatred against them. So it's to be expected that those kind of things are going to happen with that kind of propaganda going on mainstream media every day.
Well, Ann, I thank you so much for that report. But we, the people who are progressive, must be the bulwark against this nonsense of gender, etc. But you said a few things that made me think of when you talk about health programs in the death camps. As Lynn Stewart, while she was on the inside, said to me, what are you talking about health for me? You don't have a health program on the outside. And then that reminds me, what are they doing here? And we accept the taking away of the health program of the municipal workers. Where is the scream? Where is the shout? Where are the unions? They say nothing. We talk about homelessness. Where are the organizations that talk about housing when we have, what does it say, 60 to 90,000 rent-controlled apartments being held off the market? Who does it benefit? It benefits those supporters of our mayor. I don't want to get off on that because that grabs my heart on these cold days to be homeless, yeah, without a hot shower, to be sick and not have a place to store your medicine, to be tired and not have a door to close the outside. I've gotten started. Sister Betty.
The United States and the mayor has money to send to the Ukraine, but not doing anything about the food lines in Brooklyn. I want to go straight to some more information that we may be able to gather on our brother Mamiya, because we have another organizer for Mamiya in the house.
Great.
I believe, Henry, your mic is open. If you could just give us an update. Hello, Henry. Your mic is open, dear.
Oh, I would encourage people to, if they're able, to attend the hearing in December for Mamiya. I don't have a lot of information to share in that regard, but the struggle to free Mamiya continues. And so if you stay in touch with our usual suspects in terms of information, that would be the thing to do. And I also want to share with people tonight the fact that tomorrow on WBAI between 8 and 9, both Ralph and Betty have a wonderful program that includes Joan Gibbs and Rosemary Mealy. And Rosemary Mealy, some years ago, put together a book entitled Fidel and Malcolm X, Memories of a Meeting. And it chronicles Fidel's visit to Harlem at the invitation of Malcolm. And you owe it to yourself to read it, because it shows the camaraderie and the respect and the outpouring of support that Harlem bestowed upon Fidel and his group as they attended the UN General Assembly back in, I think it was 1960 or 61. And so that's a book that is a must-read, Fidel and Malcolm X, Memories of a Meeting by Rosemary Mealy, and digesting it is an inspirational and very informative enterprise. It was in 2013 reprinted by Black Classic Press, and you can reach them at www.blackclassicbooks.com for a copy. It's invaluable. Also, I would also encourage people to read Che, a memoir by Fidel Castro, published by Ocean Books. Also, Antonio Maceo, The Bronze Titan of Cuba's Struggle for Independence by Philip S. Foner, Monthly Review Press. And Fidel Castro Speaks by Martin Kenner and James Petras, issued on Groove Press. And also important to understand why the Cuban Revolution has been able to endure so many years is Fidel's classic defense entitled History Will Absolve Me, in which he was forced to participate in a trial after the attack on Moncada, and mm-hmm. it's a classic defense of why the struggle against Batista and U.S. imperialism was waged. And another book that I would encourage people to read is called Grenada, The World Against the Crime, published in 1983 after the U.S. overthrow of the Bishop government in Grenada. It gives you an understanding of why it was his government was attacked and why it was an atrocity from start to finish. And so, again, I encourage people to tune in tomorrow night on WBAI between 8 and 9 to catch both Joan Gibbs and Rosemary Mealy, who will give it an invaluable presentation about the struggle to free our political prisoners and the struggle to continue fighting against imperialism.
Well, thank you so much. And that is a true invite. Call in. Listen in. We need your support on 99.5 FM radio. And we need your support in many ways. And we will continue with this progressive radio on 99.5 with your support. And we have much more about Cuba. Sister Betty.
In addition to the two guests that Brother Henry mentioned, will be, if his schedule allows, the UN Cuban Deputy Ambassador Yuri Gala Lopez. So the Cuban Ambassador, UN Cuban Ambassador, will also be joining us. We anticipate that his schedule will permit it. I want to move on, and that's for tomorrow night. So Joan Gibbs, Dr. Rosemary Mealy, and the Ambassador Yuri Gala Lopez. Thank you.
Folks, please call in. Keep those lines. I'm going to be very brief tomorrow, and I'm going to wait for your participation. Sister Betty.
I want to commend those who got on the call last week from Mutulu. I think it's got the ball rolling in terms of people paying attention. We've got to hold him close to our breast. I want to keep moving on. As you know, our theme is election results from bad to worse, from Pelosi to Jeffries, Hakeem Jeffries, and still our political prisoners remain in the death camps. So at this point, I want to open up the mic of one of our staunch analysts. Brother Dennis, your mic is open. We missed you last week. We were trying to save you to the last, but there was difficulty in your part of the world. So right now your mic is open and you can enlighten us.
Well, the proof is that we don't control the power, the water, or anything in the colonial construct of the U.S. and abroad. I'd like to first off say that I'm grateful that Comrade Mutulu Shakur is home. I would like everybody to get your thoughts and your prayers up for Brother Kevin Johnson, who's going to be executed on the 29th of November by the
brother,
state of Missouri.
Brother, I don't think Matula is home as yet. Am I correct,
no.
Sister Ann?
You are correct. He is not home. He's still at FMC Medical Center in Lexington.
Yeah. Thank you.
Correction acknowledged.
He's projected to be released at some point in December.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Continue.
So much for that. Yeah, so, you know, Kevin Johnson was accused of murdering a sergeant in Kirkwood, Sergeant William McEntee, back in 2005. It was basically self-defense, but we know that. But he's on the death camps now. Even his daughter, who is younger than 21, has requested to observe the execution of her father, which will be the 29th of November. This is really sad as the states go with us here in colonial America. We have no authority, no control. We cry out all the time. And then you mentioned the current election. It saddens me that here we have all these boule, I call them boule, or we can call them neo-colonizing Africans who are up in government, and they're pushing the barometer for the colonial construction. They're helping to kill us. You mentioned the homeless in New York City, and this homelessness is a broad stroke of what goes on in America, where there's starvation, where there's homelessness, where there's death, disease, every day. But yet and still, in the tone of the so-called democracy, which is the land of the free and the home of the brave, there is none for us. There is none for us. It's a shame that this is a shameless country. This country has no feelings, no thought, no conscience, nihilistic as it is, about the very people that they say that they protect, the very people that they say that this is the land of the free and the home of the brave. It is the land of hypocrisy, as we all know. Now, I don't want to get on that soapbox. What I want to also point out tonight is a bulletin that was put out by the Department of Justice, where the United States repatriates over $20 million in assets stolen by former Nigeria dictators. Now watch how they put the brushstroke on foreign leaders, Africans especially, and then they call them dictators. The Department of Justice, these are hypocrites, announced today that, and this was the bulletin came out from the Department of Justice November the 17th on last Thursday. The Department of Justice announced today that it has transferred over $20.6 million to the government of Federal Republic of Nigeria. In accordance with an August 23rd agreement between the governments to repatriate assets the United States forfeited that were traceable to the kleptocracy of former Nigerian dictator General Sani Abacha and his co-conspirators. You notice that term, co-conspirators. It's the same term that was deemed on Chairman Omari Yesitela and the APSP being co-conspirators in conjunction and working with Russia. The repatriation brings the total amount forfeited and returned by the United States in this case to approximately $332 million. In 2014, a judgment was entered in the District of Columbia ordering the forfeiture of approximately $500 million located in accounts around the world. As a result of civil forfeiture complaint for more than $625 million traceable to money laundering, including the proceeds of General Abacha's corruption. Now, let's look at this. Let's look at this with some reality. What are the resources, natural resources? And, you know, this is what the colonizer does. They paint a brushstroke of corruption on the government that they chose that went awry. And so he got away with purportedly millions of dollars. But the natural resources are natural gas, tin, iron ore, coal, limestone, niobium, lead, zinc, the arable land. Nigeria is also part of the OPEC nations. Then I went on further to research something else that really caught my attention. Annotation, this article discusses political corruption in Nigeria and the recent efforts to recover billions of embezzled dollars. Now, look, they said they're giving these peace meals of $325 million, $225 million. But Nigeria's former military regime was headed by the late dictator, General Sani Abacha. During his dictatorship, he and his co-conspirators embezzled at least $5 billion in assets.
I was waiting until you got the billions number. It's not millions,
yes.
It's billions. And the Nigerians sold their country for this measly pittance, the billions you're talking about. But, excuse me.
You're right on point. But I'm looking at the hypocrisy. How many billions or trillions has the U.S. stolen up out of Nigeria? How many millions or trillions or billions or trillions has the U.K. stolen out of Nigeria? Now they have over in Africa, AFRICOM is nothing but what do you call those type of people that go over there? They're mercenaries. They're mercenaries. Over there killing our people every day, stealing the resources. And the hypocrisy of all this hegemony, from America is they are the crime incorporated of the world. And we sit back and let them, through their media, paint these brushstrokes, and we go run with the media, the mass media, which is the gimmick, and we never look at the fact that the one who's pointing the finger with the three pointing at itself, United States of America, UK, France, all have had their hands in this crime, these crimes, the rapes and pillages of the resources and the women of our African nation. This is their raping and pillaging our women and stealing our children right here in the U.S. I'm saying that we need to,
point
when
out.
We cover anything, we need to look at all levels of what we cover.
Yes. As you pointed out, it was America who supported these dictators to do their job. And as Queen Mother Moore tells us, just tell it as it is. You don't have to name it. They appointed and supported dictators all over the world who stole millions and billions. And then, of course, they shared them with the American counterparts. And the American counterparts always can take it back because they control the banks. And we have power. But we refused to use it. We elected Okol. We have been
bamboozled. Something to the broadcast tonight, and I want to thank you for allowing me this little time to express that.
Thank you so much. And as Malcolm X says, the system has bamboozled us into thinking we're a part of the system. But if you pay close attention to who supports what, from the ground up, who denies us the right of community control, who has all of these games to play, who supports the less drastic or the less honest person in the primary so that they always win. And Sister Betty reminds me, did I say I came to listen to other people? Let me listen to other people. Come with their solutions. Thank you so much for that. Sister Betty.
All right. I want to keep it rolling. We've got some powerful speakers lined up. We've got a sister who's been fighting corruption against the mayor for quite some time. So I want you to hang in there. But before we go to that, Joel, welcome back. Your mic is open.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Such a lightning show. It's the information that comes out in this is the information that people really need to understand what this country is. You know, now they're talking about how Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. as if there were any democracy, meaning the rule of people. That's what that word means, the Greek word, meaning rule of the people. I don't know why they don't use the English word, power to the people. That's become a slogan of those who want to build a real democracy. And it's in plain English that people that live in this country can all understand, rather than that word democracy, which is used as a synonym for capitalism and imperialism, which means the rule of a handful of people over everyone else, and where there's a fraud perpetrated on people in the name of democracy. They point to something like January 6th that took place. They said that was a threat to democracy, but they're totally silent to this day about the fact that George W. Bush stole the election of the presidency twice, first in Florida in 2000 and then in Ohio in 2004. He actually stole the election. And you know what? The Democrats all went along with it. They didn't say a word. There were very few who even criticized the crudity and the openness with which they stole that election. It was
I interrupt you for one moment to say, yes, in Ohio, there was an organization that stood up and said, no, we're not going to have it. And that organization was basically gay. And here we are with an attitude towards people who think differently, have a different lifestyle. Well, their lifestyle said no more. So we should all become gay if this is what we have to do to give ourselves energy to fight for justice. Sorry for that interruption, but when I thought of that, when you mentioned Ohio, gee, you know, it hurts. But continue, Joel, with your information.
Yeah, now that George W. Bush, as soon as he got in place, we had within 1 year, in 2001, we had 9/11 breakout. And 9/11 was the pretext. It was orchestrated as a false flag operation and then used as a pretext, a sort of a new, almost parody of a duplication of Pearl Harbor to galvanize the United States into becoming embroiled in a war in the Middle East against Iraq and against Afghanistan, really against the entire Muslim world, and cultivating an attitude. I remember at the time where in this great democracy, people were rounded up systematically, thousands and thousands of people who were not even accused of being guilty of anything, totally innocent people who were then deported from the United States, there was just a total roundup, and that was that any kind of a war abroad entails a war at home. And of course, capitalism is a war against the entire people by the handful of bankers and top corporate officials and corporate owners who run the entire economy of the country on the basis of that handful of billionaires and trillionaires. We no longer mention millionaires that much because it's such a small amount compared to the people that are actually up there running the country, this tiny handful running it in the name of democracy. Now, the real thing that keeps them in power, in addition to the fact that we haven't up until this point become organized to fight back. And then when that happens, when there is no organization, then everyone, well, not everyone, but the bulk of the population feels into the illusion of powerlessness, that people don't grasp the idea that, wait a minute, we're the ones who are responsible for all of the strength that our exploiters and oppressors wield, because we do the work and we create the wealth that they own and everything else. But what stands in the way is that even though we're the overwhelming majority of people in that position compared to the handful of bankers, we haven't become an organized force that can use the power that's inherently in the people to reorganize the country on the basis of human need instead of the profits of trillionaires. Now, I want to say that we have to remember, though, that after the Bush regime took over, and hardly any, by the way, we from the Lower East Side, we had a car full of people that went out to Ohio to protest at the declaration that the Electoral College delegates all appointed as a result of the rigged election in Ohio and in other states also in favor of Bush. And there were also a handful of people that we coordinated with that drove in from Seattle, in addition to the gay demonstration that you mentioned. But it was really only a handful of people. The bulk of the left were not there. There was a meeting held on the other side of town under the leadership of Jesse Jackson, but unfortunately that leadership took a lot of the energy away from the focus on where the Electoral College delegates that had been miselected in the rigged election in Ohio were meeting, and a lot of the energy was taken away from focusing on that, and that's what the media, if they commented at all, focused on, instead of their attention being drawn to the criminals that were usurping the illusion of democracy to put George Bush into power for another 4 years. And then
well,
right
Joel,
after the Bush regime,
cut you off there because you said a mouthful, and it kind of reminded me of our brother Ralph Shulman, who was very ill, and we should remember he's the one who gave us great news, such as you are giving us analysis, and that's what reminded me. And so thank you. We are running short on time, and so keep coming back, because we soon hope to have Maya Schoen on this program and 99.5 FM on the radio regularly. Thanks again, Joel. Thanks for the analysis. Sister Betty.
7785, did you want to make any comments before we go on to our last speaker?
Yes. Allow me a few minutes to make a couple of comments. I don't want to take up much time, but earlier we were just talking about Mutulu and the fact that he has been granted parole, but he sits in the same cage, the same prison, the same conditions, the same, you know, being eaten up by the illness. So he's not out on the street at all. But in order for him to get out, it's a harsh reality. I spent decades as a political prisoner in those very same death camps. And the reality is that sometimes they'll make it even appear like somebody's out or almost out, and in fact, that's not the case. Now, we all have many important and real requests for support and solidarity. But in this situation here, I just would like to single out Mutulu and say that the thing that's really holding him up from being released is that because of his medical conditions and reality, he has to have medical transport from the prison to an airport, then have a medical flight fly him out to California, and out in California again he has to have medical transport from the airport, you know, to the home where he's going to stay. And let's be real about it, the parole for him was absolutely so long overdue and so good to hear, but he's going home to die. The sooner he gets there, the more it's so important, so necessary. Now, there's always, you know, requests for solidarity and support, monetary support, but I would really like to reach out to people and say this particular support, getting money, you know, to get Matulu out of that prison and out to California, you know, is a very time-sensitive, very time-necessary situation. So we should put this on really the top of our list of what we could do, and reach out to other people we know, friends and whatever, other, you know, people that are involved in social justice and, you know, liberation work, and really press on them that this is a request and a need beyond just the usual and the very other important needs that we have. So I would just like to emphasize that point. And with that, let me go back to listening to everything else that's being said.
Well, thank you so much for that. Words of wisdom from personal experience from a true revolutionary who I have great admiration that is extremely difficult to express in a short time or express at all. Thank you so much. Mr. Benny.
Okay, so we're going to take the program to the end with an update from someone who is very much a warrior and very much concerned with corruption in high places. Sister, your mic is open. Sister Audrey, your mic is open.
Good evening, this is Sister Audrey. I am with Finally Ending Mirror Control, a UNIA member, and one of those city workers who was terminated by this mayor and the mayor before. So I'm here to say that we are looking for support for members in the community, stakeholders who have seen what this mayor is doing, that his hands are everywhere and he's very incompetent. He's not doing a good job with the schools. He's not been doing a good job with that shelter he put up over there in Randall's Island with the homeless people. He's just so inept. And so with so many issues like what Sister Betty and others mentioned, when I tuned in, I heard them talking about the code in the retirees' health benefits, that he's trying to change the code with some of the union leaders like the UFT president, Michael Mulgrew. And some of these current in-service workers are not aware what they're up to. I did receive something telling us that they want us to change the code, but from other experts who laid the trenches so that we who are getting ready to retire and those to come will not be aware that others paved the way for us to not have our benefits increased when we retire, when we finish working and do all that we've done on these plantations. So don't change the code, and these city council members need to know that. So to the stakeholders, the young people in the schools who are listening to this program, to all those parents, to all those community leaders, to all those retired school teachers and other support staff in the different boroughs, we need you to be aware that this mayor is trying to take money out of the pockets of our communities. And we recently watched a movie about Backpack, the cash that when the children go to these charter schools, which this Governor Hochul, she's relieved the cap from these charter schools, the children will go there when school starts so they can get the money. But then when they are up and running, they get rid of the students, but the money stays there for some reason. And so we are saying the public funds are going in these charter schools, and then the public schools are left with making sure that these children do well. So they're overburdened, and we don't need these funds to be taken away from the public schools. We need to have decentralization. We need to have our communities take back control of our children so we can have our property taxes paid without our stressing over where we're going to get the money from. Because, as I said, when the children leave and transfer from one school to another, the money goes with them. But for some reason, the charter school, because these are the hedge funders, they have a way of making sure the money stays there. So we need to...
And may I add, it has to be community control. That other word was just a fake to lead us in the wrong direction. Decentralization, words like that have no meaning. Understand that in New York, if the communities were divided as they now are in terms of money, 32 districts, they would be some of the largest districts in the country. But now they have a scheme. They're all one district with one central board. Been ripping off everybody, ripping off the black community forever. And that's another story that we have to get into in terms of the ripoff. But yes, you are so right. Educate, educate, educate. You're not going to hear this on any other program. Continue, sister.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Well, we have one more guest who always drops by. I want to know if Queen Mother wants to say a few words. 8169, your mic is open. Did you want to say a few more words?
Hello, your microphone is open. All righty. We have come to the end of our program. Okay. You caught us. We hear you.
Yeah. Okay. I'll say Black Power. And Vanguard Up, Uhuru, and Black Power to our brothers in prison, that, you know, the ancestors in the spiritual one would bring them out of there so they can be home with their family and they can enjoy the powerful energy and life that they have.
Well, thank
That's
you so
all
much.
I want to say.
We have to remember Genocide Day is coming up. And one of the things that came to my mind, just a genocide day, is the day of football. And so upset that the brothers on the athletes did not support Colin Kaepernick when he took a knee. They have no idea the importance of that program. The kids in high school were doing it. But it was so important that this system went to the high schools and said, if you take a knee, you will not get a college scholarship. If the cheerleaders take a knee, they will be looked hard upon when applications to college. They didn't want this message to go through to our youth. And the message has to go to the youth. And I look at the, I look with a jaundiced eye. A genocide day when they play football. I look with a jaundiced eye, a genocide day when they talk about food with this homelessness and this hunger that has been alive and well in America for a long time for the benefit of the few. My brothers and sisters, join us. Allow us to join you. Sister Betty.
All right, comrade, did you want to say a few more things to encourage people to support Mutulu? 7785, your mic is open.
Yes, as I said a little earlier, there's many important and real requests and needs out there for support to both political prisoners and other things as well. But this issue with Matulu right now, getting him out of prison, and he needs the money before they'll release him. Getting him out of prison and medically transporting him to California, I'm really hoping that people can look at this as the most important and something to do, like, soon. And that, with that, let me just say, free them all.
Bring them all. What's the call? Free them all. Thank you again, my brothers and sisters, for this wonderful evening with you. Look forward to you tomorrow, 8 to 9, 99.5 on your FM dial. We have programs for you. We're going to talk about Cuba. And see you soon. Much love. Revolutionary love.